Welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I am your host, Hannah Davis from Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And today I have Dr. Landon Sears, pediatric dental specialist at Cavity Commando, here with us today. And we are discussing children's dental health. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to talk all about children's dental health and inform the public about what that looks like from stage to stage. So being a parent, we have 100 different things on our minds. I remember 6 years ago when we had our first baby, the dentist was not really on my mind for our daughter. And you think, oh, she's just an infant. You know, you don't think much about it. And really just wishing that teething stage away. Just ready to be done with that. But dental health for children is a real thing, and it starts early. So tell us a little bit about, like, when parents should start thinking about children's dental health.
Absolutely. And Hannah, thank you so much for having me on. Really appreciate the opportunity to help promote pediatric dental health.
Absolutely.
Not just this month, not just this day, but every day, every month. Yeah. I love it, and really appreciate the opportunity. Parents should start thinking about their children's oral health when the mom is pregnant, because that's
really
when the baby teeth start developing, usually around the third month of pregnancy. So there's things that a mom can do during the pregnancy stage that can benefit the child long term and help the development of the tooth structure. And then once the baby is born, something that I do that is unique to this area, really the only one between Nashville and Knoxville, I perform tongue and lip tie releases with a carbon dioxide laser. With that, I can help a child breastfeed better with latching, help clear food if there's a milky coated tongue or food getting trapped in the lips. We see a lot of kids, unfortunately, that have really severe decay in the top front four teeth. It's absolutely devastating when you tell a parent that their child has four large cavities, the teeth may need to come out, and the child's only 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
I can help prevent that with a lip tie release as young as 2 weeks, really. I mean, we see it, you know, within a week or two. So there's so much that you can do. And then I am the pediatric dentist, the only dentist on staff at Cookeville Regional Medical Center. We do cases, several cases each week. Many of them can be prevented. We love the hospital. Don't get me wrong.
No, I hear you.
We love doing, being able to perform these services. But at the same time, I think to myself, oh, this could have been prevented. I mean, the child didn't see us until 3, 4 years old. We could have easily helped combat these caries at a much earlier stage and avoided this surgery that's life altering and that, you know, it has some risks, of course, and is costly. I wish that we would start sooner.
So backing up a little bit, lip tie, tell the public what that is exactly.
So basically, if you have a child, what you can do, an infant, a newborn, first off, have them see a lactation consultant to, you know, learn the proper techniques with breastfeeding. If a child can't latch well for breastfeeding purposes or to the bottle, what you can do for a lip tie, look to see if the lip folds above and can occlude the nares, the nasal, the nostrils. That's how I diagnose a lip tie. If it's tethered or tight and blanches and it's painful, because long term there could be a gap, and you know, not every child and not every parent wants their kid to look like Madonna or Elton John when they're older. And then, you know, the risk of caries and cavities in that area in the front four is very high. It's painful to brush when there's a big tether of gum tissue between the teeth. And then on the bottom, if they can't swallow, if peristalsis is affected, if they can't elevate the tongue, if they can't extend it beyond their lips, if they can't lateralize well and go from side to side to the vermilion border, so many things that you could help long term. You can improve a child's ability to clear food, to speak, to breastfeed, like I said, improve brushing, just so many things that, you know, you can help long term. But that's really where, you know, having a lactation consultant and a whole team on board. But then, you know, the next step is the dental portion to help prevent
decay. That's so interesting. I had no idea. My kids, I have three, but none of them had that. But if they would have, I would have never thought, oh, you know, I would have obviously gone to lactation consultant and talked, but and they probably would have known to go further. But who knew that it goes all the way into the dental world? That's just fascinating and really, really neat.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, as a pediatric dentist, so I use loops and a well-lit field at 4.5 times the magnification. It looks like I have telescopes coming out of my eyes. So, you know, not too many other healthcare providers are as well versed on the oral cavity, the oral structures, the musculature, the glands. I mean, there've been some cases, sadly, of malpractice where a release was done and the glands were affected, and you know, it just affect salivary flow and digestion long term. So, you know, the ability to really zero in on the target and see the field and the field of vision being so clear and just familiar to me. It's just something, because I only see kids really, that it just is, you know, how I was trained as a specialist. So it's very easy for me.
So what ages do you see?
I mean, I see from
infants. Yeah.
We have some kids with severe anxiety that we see into their teenage years. We see some kids with special healthcare needs, up until, you know, into the college age even. I mean, we would see older if there was a special case. Most of the kids we see are between the ages of 7 months and around 12 years old.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited because we're gonna go through different stages of children's dental health, from infancy all the way to our toddlers, to our kids, and then into teenagers, and we're going to talk a lot about different things. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We're here with Dr. Landon Sears, pediatric dental specialist at Cavity Commando, and we are discussing children's dental health. What is your advice to parents who have not yet brought their children to the dentist yet, and how can they prepare for their first appointment?
Well, the first thing I would say is go to our website. We have a lot of great info on what to expect. They can tour the office. I mean, we really try to make it seem like a birthday party atmosphere or like Chuck E. Cheese inside. But some kids, I tell parents, you could take them to the Magic Kingdom. Mickey Mouse could be cleaning their teeth and they still could be afraid. I'm a less is more type of guy, because some parents, their experience is what theirs was as a child may be different than what their children's experience would be at a specialist office. So I tell them, look, don't say too much. Just let them come in, play the games, release some serotonin.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know, enjoy the experience and let us give you as much information, bring questions like you're doing right now.
Absolutely.
I'm happy to answer any question. I mean, I have parents call me, and just kind of take it easy. Take it with an open mind. Anything on your mind, we have a lot of info that we give to the parents as well. And we go over oral hygiene instruction, how to brush, how to floss. We talk about different products. So really just kind of go in with an open mind and don't scare your kids. We're not giving them shots or needles.
Yeah, right. Tell them they're getting shots.
Yeah, I tell them the only shots I do are like basketball shots.
Yeah, that's great. That's perfect. That's the kind of shots they would rather talk about or see. So how is pediatric dentist different than just the normal dentist, I guess one could say? I mean, you are a dentist. I don't want to say normal dentist, but I mean pediatric versus a dentist.
So pediatric dentists comprise about 6% of all dentists. And we did a 2 to 3 year residency specifically geared towards pediatrics. So I did mine at one of the biggest pediatric hospitals in the world in Miami, Florida.
Wow.
I saw kids from not only all over Florida, but kids were airlifted from the Caribbean, from South and Central America. And we saw cases that were very difficult and some kids who were severely anxious. I had kids who had been to 6 or 7 offices before me. So you learn how to treat the most challenging cases, whether it's due to a medical condition, severe anxiety, and just the knowledge, because we have to get certified and go through boards processing. There's just so much knowledge that we just zero in on the pediatric population. So it's an additional 2 to 3 years of training during residency, and then it's a lifelong process. I go to continuing education courses almost monthly at this point.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I subscribe to all the pediatric journals. I mean, just from being in the network of pediatric dentists, you learn new techniques and approaches. So it's really unique. I almost use the analogy, like if you were to take a picture of, let's say, Neyland Stadium where the Vols play, and maybe a general dentist can kind of like spot a little bit of everything in the crowd, I just look at one section and I zero in and I know that section perfectly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't, my scope isn't as vast maybe on all topics of dentistry. Like, you wouldn't want me to make a denture for your grandparents or something.
Right. This is your specialty. This is what you do.
Exactly. It's pretty much the equivalent of a pediatrician. I trained with pediatricians. We had medical courses and lectures, and we had rotations with pediatricians, pediatric ENT specialists, pediatric plastic surgeons. I served on a craniofacial team with speech pathologists, lactation consultants, hearing specialists, just geared towards pediatrics. So you get the depth of knowledge in one specialty that is very, very significant.
It's good to know there's confidence and that there's you've been around multiple people with specialties and you have a different, you guys get to work together to figure out problems and everyone has, like you said, I mean, this one over here may be more denture and this one, but you all work together to kind of figure things out and that collaborative effort is really cool.
Right. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. I mean, we take referrals. Most of the general dentists in this area are referring to us and we communicate with them about the cases. And then there's other cases that we refer out, like a child who needs wisdom tooth extracted to the oral surgeon or orthodontics. I don't do braces. So we help guide the plan and find the right orthodontist for them. And then, you know, outside of dentistry, the other specialties, ENT, there's kids that need OT and PT and different healthcare needs that I may be the first one to notice. Even a bleeding disorder, I may be the first one to realize, oh, this kid may have von Willebrand's or, you know, something worse even. So, just having that extra 2 to 3 years of education and just focusing on one specialty, I think just kind of improves the quality of care for the pediatric population that I see. And one of the things we've really tried to do, because you said, what can they do to prepare for their first appointment?
Yes.
So we've been super involved with all of the community events that Mayor Ricky Shelton and Better Cookeville have run. We got involved with the slide, the 4th of July.
The Cityscape. Yeah.
The Christmas tree lighting and the carriage rides. So my whole point, and I do a lot of videos on social media, and my point is, okay, the kid knows me. They know what I look like. There's no surprises. I'm their pediatric dentist that day. They've seen me in the community. A lot of the kids say, oh, you're the guy. I remember you from the slide.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you kind of unmask the unknown. And a lot of kids are not afraid. Like the actual process of the cleaning doesn't hurt. They're not crying because getting their teeth clean is painful to them. It's just the fear of they don't know what to expect and the unknown. And that's where we can really help reduce the phobias.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I am your host, Hannah Davis, and with me is Dr. Landon Sears, pediatric dental specialist at Cavity Commando, and we are discussing children's dental health. And right now we're going to talk a little bit about infancy, and we're going to start there. And with infants, the dental health game may not be as much about cavities, looking for them and such, but we are preparing the teeth for growth. Is that kind of where we're at in the infancy stages?
Absolutely. Hannah, if I ask you this question, and I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, here we go.
Okay, so the six-year permanent molar, the molar that usually comes in around age six, the first adult tooth, when does it usually start to develop, would you say?
Oh, I'm sure. Infancy.
Correct. It actually develops right around the time of birth.
Wow.
An adult tooth at the time of birth.
Wow.
So that means that everything you do, whether it's giving your child antibiotics, whether it's preventing traumas and falls and safety and the car seat you choose, or how you set up your electrical cords in your house, and preventing falls and trips, everything that you do can affect the child's dentition later in life. There's also, you know, kids that develop what's called hypoplasia, where the enamel doesn't form all the way. And there's just kids that either get not enough fluoride or too much fluoride in some rare cases. I mean, you see all sorts of things that as an infant can affect the overall dentition. Another common one, two other common ones. Thumb sucking.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah.
And then the other one, pacifier usage.
Yes, we're going to get to that one too.
Perfect.
Like, so we are headed right. So my question to kind of wrap that up is, like, I hear people say, oh, these teeth, they're going to fall out. They're not the permanent teeth, so I'm not really worried about them as much. What is your thoughts on that perspective? I mean, I think I know what your perspective is, but go ahead.
So I always take a deep breath and say, okay, mommy, we just had Christmas. Did your child enjoy having Christmas dinner with the whole family? Without their baby teeth, how are they going to chew? Well, it's not easy to chew through that fried chicken if they don't have teeth. How are they going to speak? The muscles. Do you want their teeth to sag in and they have like a, you know, an old person's speech? You know, you don't want that either. A speech can be affected. And then the biggest thing really is self-esteem.
Yeah.
Sadly, bullying is prevalent. I think as a society, we've gotten better about promoting awareness about bullying. But, you know, it's not just teeth that we're talking about here. It's how the teeth connect to the rest of the child. And you know, something I do, and I think we're the only ones that do it, we do all white crowns for the pediatric population. And I know I get some people, oh, that's overkill, that's cosmetic, that's not necessary. You don't know what that child's going through, okay? Let's say you do a silver front tooth and the child gets bullied over it.
Yeah.
To promote, you know, just improve self-esteem and just help that child feel more confident in their image and their smile. I don't know if you could put a price tag on that. I don't know if you can put, you know, a precise value to that, but it's something that I think we need to pause for a second and say, okay, they're not just baby teeth. This is a developing child, and it's really important to keep their teeth for all the reasons I mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's go into what we were talking about. So talk a little bit about, with infancy, there's teething. We're going to talk about the using of a baby bottle, going into pacifier use, and then thumb sucking. So start with teething. What's some advice you can give parents as their child is teething? What do they need to be looking for when, you know?
Teething is common. Teething is not just common as an infant. We also see it around age 6 when the permanent molars first come in.
My daughter just went through it, and she was like, Mom, there's like this flappy skin thing on the back where that's coming in. And I was like, yeah, I think that's normal.
It is. It's absolutely normal.
Yeah, so.
If it's, I mean, we've had a couple kids that was so irritable that we removed the tissue with the laser. Mm-hmm. It happens around age 12, even later on with the wisdom teeth coming in. So it's just something as the body is transitioning at different stages of childhood development. Now, as far as teething, I get this all the time. Should the child use Orajel? I'm a big no-no. Orogel.
Okay, why are you big no-no?
Okay, so the only way Orajel is effective is if you keep the spot dry while you're applying it. So imagine an infant.
Right.
I mean, are you going to get them to open enough and keep the area, you know, dry? And if not, and they swallow it, there have been cases reported where it could be toxic to them. It can irritate the oral airway, the pharyngeal airspace. It could be harmful if swallowed. I'm not a fan. I'm a bigger fan of a few things. For one, Tylenol at a small dosage, maybe 10 milligrams per kilogram. If you're not into medicine, a more homeopathic option is Arnica. And then the other is, you know, if your child's breastfeeding, the breastfeeding chips, the frozen chips mm-hmm. with the breast milk,
yeah.
I think that's okay. Just make sure, you know, you clean up after with some water or wipe off the area. But I'm a bigger fan of those than Orajel. There's just the risk outweighs the benefit with Orajel. So that's my take on teething.
Okay, awesome. What about the using of baby bottles? Like, it's good, but then could there be some repercussion from doing it, or what do they need to watch and be careful with?
So with baby bottles, you know, again, it's definitely something to consult the lactation consultant about, because they may have, you know, their thoughts on breast milk versus formula. But then with the bottle, the milk can be directed in certain areas. So it's really important to clean up afterwards. I'm okay with the bottle until around age two. And then after that, you really want to wean them off. And even a sippy cup, I'm not a huge fan of. I like something more that directs the liquid product deeper back. And peristalsis can help advance it further back so that it's not really directed at the teeth. So that's my take on the bottle. Something to keep in mind, too, is to clean the bottle, to clean everything. A lot of germs can be transmitted that way. So just put it in the dishwasher. Same with a pacifier. Clean the passy. Put it in the dishwasher. The brushes as well. Put your toothbrush in the dishwasher. Keep it clean.
You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We are here with Dr. Landon Sears, pediatric dental specialist at Cavity Commando, and we are discussing children's dental health. And we are talking about the infant stage. So pacifier use. There are people who are totally against pacifiers, and that's awesome. There are people who give in, or they decide we're doing the passy thing. What do we need to know about that?
It's okay up until around age two, but there are long-term effects where basically the teeth kind of evolve in a pattern that shapes the outline of the pacifier. So you get an open bite, you get kids that are more prone to nasal breathing, even their jaw structure can elongate and change. So, you know, long-term, it's not ideal, and it's very tough to cut that habit. I like to joke around with the parents and say, hey, if it's been hard to get rid of it, maybe take them to the zoo or the aquarium and say, hey, that's a cute baby, you know.
Or replace it or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's give it to them and see if they'll allow you. If not, I say this. Look, you may be sleep deprived for a couple nights. The child may not like you at this moment in time, but 10 years from now, when their smile is much better.
You're like, yeah, I'm glad I did that.
Or you don't have to pay for braces. You're going to be very happy for those couple of sleepless nights.
We used to tell our daughter, and we even kind of worked it in. Our son handled it differently than our daughter. Our son kept it a little bit longer, but we would tell her that it needed to stay in the baby bed with her animals, and we would just like throw it in there, and she was like, okay, it's going to go to sleep. And it had one of the little animals attached to it, so all of them stayed together, and it worked for her. So everyone has their method to get rid of the passy, but you can see, I think with my youngest daughter, she had it, and I could start to see her teeth were starting to kind of raise up a little bit, and I was like, oh, is this from the pacifier? And then they're like, yeah, it's from the pacifier. So that's, yeah, I believe you.
Absolutely.
I
like that method too. I'm going to remember that one.
Yeah. Okay. So thumb sucking.
Just like the passy.
Just like
same
the passy.
Deal, but it's something that you see prolonged, because usually a passy is just not cool for a five-year-old to be walking around with a passy, but the thumb is a habit. You know, there's different reasons why they're putting their thumb in their mouth. So, you know, we have to look at the whole person. Is it because they're anxious? Okay, maybe we need to treat the anxiety. Is there an airway issue? Is it just a habit that they can't kick, or they like doing things with their hands that they, you know, can't curb that habit? Okay, maybe get them something to use their fingers with, a toy, a game. I know, you know, some parents have the tablets. I'm okay if that's getting their thumbs out of the fingers out of the mouth. So it's a tough one. It has the same deleterious effects as the passy.
So I think what's interesting about thumb sucking, and this was always my take, is like it's attached to their hand. Like it can go everywhere with them. So it's a little harder with the passy. You're like, okay, it's gone. It's gone forever. I threw it away. It's gone. But you can't really do that with a thumb. So
absolutely. So a couple things with that. One, I try and always take a positive approach. I don't like to discipline kids. I mean, I hear parents said they put like the peppers, you know, feeling on the thumb.
Yeah.
I don't like to harm. I don't like that approach of harming or making it negative. I try and make a positive. Maybe you create a scorecard. And if you go a whole week without seeing the child, maybe you give them a nice little reward, a treat of the week, if you will.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, there's so much to learn about children's dental health, and we're excited to have you on next week. From all of us here at News Talk 94. I need to stop.
Yeah. Take a drink.
Yeah, take a drink.
Sip and relax.
Okay. From all of us here at News Talk 94.1, we thank you for listening in. And thank you, Dr. Sears, for being with us and educating listeners on children's dental health. We can't wait to have you back next week. This is Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I am your host, Hannah Davis, and we will see you back next Thursday.